Very good.
I'm ready to go.
Very good, then I will go ahead and virtually gavel our meeting to order. Tonight's meeting is the regular council meeting for the Grover Beach City Council on Monday, April 6th. It is approximately 6 p.m. So we do have AGP doing a audio recording of this. And for those that are listening in the audience and you, if you're looking to have public comments by phone, then please prepare to call area code 805-321-6639. So, or you can also submit your public comments via email to gbadmin@groverbeach.org. And so with those denotations of how to reach us this evening, I would like to just have us all participate in a moment of silence if we could. The city has lost a valued member of our family from years ago. Jeannie Storton, a valued member of the Parks and Rec Commission, passed away late last week. And then, as we all know, there's been many, many tens of thousands of people who have died as a result of COVID-19, including one in our own county. So I'd like to do a moment of silence for each of them, if we could, please. Thank you, everyone, for participating in that moment of silence. Now I'd like to turn to our flag salute, if we could. And we have our own B.B. Shaw available to lead us in the flag salute. So, B.B., if you would, please.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag,
United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very nice. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that, BB. I know you've done it in the past, and so you're becoming a seasoned professional at this. So next, Madam City Clerk, if we could do roll call, please.
Okay. Councilmember Lance.
Here.
Councilmember Nichols.
Here.
Councilmember Shaw.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
And Mayor Lee.
I am here as well. So as we know, we do have a quorum. We are a virtual quorum this evening. So, before we go into any closed session announcements, either Wendy or Nicole, can you let us know who, from staff-wise, is also in attendance virtually this evening?
We have Public Works Director, City Engineer Ray. We have Police Chief Peters. We have Five Cities Fire Chief Steve Lieberman. And at this moment, that is all.
Okay. And we do have our City Attorney, David Hale, with us as well, I believe, right?
I'm here.
Very good.
That is correct.
And so then I'll turn. Great. I'll turn that over to Mr. Hale for our closed sessions announcements, please.
We have none this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Thank you for that. So next, that'll take us to our ceremonial calendar, where our first item is the proclamation for the month of the child. I've asked Councilmember Shaw to be. I apologize. Let's do a gender review first. So, is there any members of the council? And let's go in, and like we did last time, we'll go in the Lance, Nichols, Shaw, Wright, Lee order, as done in the roll call. Is there Councilmember Lance? Any items on the gender review that you want to consider?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Nichols.
No, nothing to draw or pull.
Okay, Councilmember Shaw.
No, no thanks.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright?
No, thank you.
Very good, then. Seeing consensus, I'll just go ahead and make a motion that we proceed with the agenda as published.
I'll second that.
I second.
It sounds like we have a motion from myself, second under the Bright banner. And all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. We'll go ahead and proceed with the agenda as published, which then does take us to our ceremonial calendar for the proclamation of the child. So, Councilmember Shaw, if you would please.
Sure. Proclamation of the River Beach City Council designating the month of April 2020 as Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. Whereas the River Beach City Council recognizes that every moment in a child's life is an opportunity for that child to learn, that the quality of these experiences may determine whether a child succeeds in school and in life, and that all children need caring and loving adults in their lives. And whereas April, Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month, marks the time to recognize that our community's children are precious assets, that the quality of their early years is our collective responsibility, and that we commit ourselves to ensuring that each and every child experiences a high-quality early environment at home, at childcare, at school, and in the community that will promote their optimal development. And whereas a variety of other events honoring Month of the Child will provide an opportunity to acknowledge the dedication of individuals and organizations to improve the lives of children and youth in our county and raise awareness of the community, employers, and elected officials of the need to improve the quality, availability, and accessibility of programs supporting children. And whereas Thursday, April 30th, 2020 will commemorate Child Care Awareness Day, as an in honor of the We Are the Care initiative to bring awareness and advocate for the local child care crisis. Through this initiative, we as a community of partners envision a San Luis Obispo County where all families can find and afford quality care for their children and where child care professionals are valued for their critical role in building a solid foundation for and children and families to thrive in the world. And whereas Friday, April 24th, 2020, our county will participate in the statewide raising of the Children's Memorial Flag to honor and raise awareness about the many children in our midst who suffer daily from abuse and neglect and pledge our support for strategies that strengthen families and protect our young ones. And whereas in this caring and connected county, we will, including and beyond the Month of the Child, continue to dedicate our efforts and our resources to investing in our community's future by investing in and supporting our community's children and youth. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Grover Beach City Council is proclaiming April 2020 as the Month of the Child, Child Abuse Prevention Month, and April 30th, 2020 as Child Care Awareness Day.
Very good. Thank you for that reading that proclamation. And I understand we do have a representative from CAPSLO on the line here to accept the proclamation and say some words, possibly.
Hi, this is Rochelle Bollet. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can. Thank you, Rochelle.
Hi. So, hi. Yes, I'm from Community Action Partnership and also the Local Child Care Planning Council. And just wanted to say thank you so much for proclaiming April as Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month. It looks a little different this year, given our current circumstances, so we're not doing a whole bunch of different fanfare, and we can't bring the kids to you like we normally do, but we do want to say thank you so much for all of your support for children, especially now. We've been looking to Grover Beach, especially as we are working on some other childcare options for emergency and essential workers, which has been a huge undertaking for our county, and the fact that it's being addressed at the state and the county level just shows how much more important that we need to be taking care of our children and the experiences that they're going through. So I wanted to say thank you so much for that. We also emailed you a little video of kids my kids, saying thank you, because that's what we've got right now. But you're more than welcome to take a look at what we're doing on the sanluischildcare.org website. It's the Planning Council's website, and how we're supporting families and children through this crisis that we're going through. And we love that we have your support in doing that. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for that, Rochelle. Appreciate that. And I did notice that I did receive the video. So look forward to watching that in a little bit. I did want to just say congratulations for all the work that you've been doing. And you are the first recipient of a revised and updated proclamation format that the City of Grover Beach is doing. So we're honored to have you participate in that, and hopefully that the new format is something that can be displayed proudly in your organization and for years to come.
So, yes.
Is there
Thank you
any
very
questions
much.
For certainly? Is there any questions from the council for Rochelle?
No, just Lane. Congratulations for what they do, Barbara.
Very good. Rochelle, before we let you go, so is there a quick summary that you can provide as to what the county is doing for essential workers and their supporting their kids while the essential workers are on the front lines battling the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. So we are working with any provider that is choosing to stay open. So we had a lot of providers that have closed, whether it be in their own home or different reasons of just not full enrollment, so that we're coordinating efforts so that programs are not at capacity. So that means if a licensed family child care can have up to, let's say, 12 to 14 children, we're recognizing that right now 12 to 14 children in a group setting is probably not the best idea. And also, do they all need to be there if their programs aren't serving essential workers? And so we're working on coordinating that so that programs can have a much lower ratio where they're at, and then also opening up programs or centers that were on school grounds that had to close in terms of the school closing, so the child care facility also needed to close. So we're working with those programs so that they can work with the schools and do an increased janitorial service to have low ratio child care provided with them. And then the next piece that we're working on, just starting this week, is being able to get those programs actually the materials that they would need in terms of janitorial supplies, masks, making sure that they have enough disinfecting equipment, gloves, thermometers to be able to do temperature checks for all the children that are coming through. So we've been reaching out to businesses, just knowing that it's the same crisis that our healthcare is facing, where they don't have enough gloves and masks as well. So what else can we do for those programs, and looking for community support in that?
Very good. Thank you for that update. Appreciate that. Again, we'll go to the council just real quickly to see if there's any last minute comments. So Councilmember Lance.
No, just thank you. And, if you need any support, we're more than happy to provide that. So keep on asking, and hopefully we can keep on giving.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nichols.
My comments are basically the same. And congratulations for everything you're doing.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the service you're providing. I know with a lot of kids not being able to go to school and not being able to go to their child care providers, I know I've been giving a lot of thought to a lot of kids that school and their activities is their safe space. And it's probably really even harder for them to be at home right now. So I do think that this this proclamation is very timely for a lot of kids in the community. So I just thank you for keeping that awareness up.
And Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Really, I don't have much to add other than just thank you so much for what you do.
Very good. And I would just add my thanks as well, and appreciate you being here tonight, Rochelle. So keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So next, that'll take us to our proclamation for Arbor Day. And I have asked Councilmember Lance to read this proclamation this evening.
Whereas 70th
Nebraska Councilmember Lance, please hold for a moment. We are having a very difficult time hearing you. Is that something on our end, or that might be on your end?
Can you hear me?
I couldn't hear her. Oh, much better.
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. Should I start from the beginning? Proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring April 24th, 2020 as National Arbor Day. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this special day, the last Friday in April, called National Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska. And whereas Arbor Day is observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can reduce the erosion of our precious topsoil from wind and water, cut heating and cooling costs, moderate the temperature, clean the air, produce oxygen, and provide habitat for wildlife, and whereas trees are a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products, and whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community, and whereas Grover Beach desires to continue its tree planting practices, and whereas the Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Department will conduct virtual Arbor Day activities to celebrate the importance of trees for the community during the week, April 20th to 24th, 2020. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby officially proclaim April 24th, 2020 as National Arbor Day in Grover Beach and urges all citizens to support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands and to support our community tree program.
Very good. Thank you for reading that proclamation. I understand City Manager Bronson is going to accept this on behalf of the city.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. On behalf of our Parks and Recreation Department, I'm honored to accept the Arbor Day proclamation. As the council is aware, Arbor Day is an event that we recognize every year at the city. Last year, we had a wonderful community event where we planted numerous trees over at 16th Street Park. We had local youth groups there helping us. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year, we aren't able to do that on Arbor Day itself. So this year, as the proclamation read, we are doing some virtual activities during the week of April 20th to help celebrate the spirit of Arbor Day in a virtual way and look forward to coming back to a physical tree planting with the community later on this year. So again, on behalf of your staff team, I'm honored to accept this proclamation and look forward to celebrating Arbor Day just in a different way.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. So we'll go ahead and move into our public communication section. So we're at this time, the council will listen to public, will allow public communication for, if necessary, for any, bear with me a second, as I've got a cat who's attacking my computer. So I apologize for that. So we're now under public communications. So where any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. So the benefits and the bane of a virtual meeting. So so for those who are listening and do want to call in for public comment, please call now at 805-321-6639. And I'll look to our city clerk Sims and our deputy city clerk Ritena and see if there's anyone on the line.
At this moment, no, we have no public speakers.
Very good. Thank you for that. So we will go ahead and close public communications and bring it back for our consent agenda, where we have several routine items. We have several minutes. Actually, it looks like we just have minutes of a council meeting. So is there anyone who has questions on the consent calendar? Councilmember Lance.
No, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols. Hearing none, we'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
No questions.
Very good, Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
No questions, thank you.
Very good, no questions from myself either, so I'll turn it over to our City Clerk Sims and see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on the consent calendar.
No, there is not.
Then we'll go ahead and close that to the public and bring it back for consideration. Who wants to make a motion?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second. This is Miriam Shaw.
Very good. Sounds like we have a motion and a second. Looks like a voice vote. So all those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Very good. So that takes us out of our consent calendar and into our public hearing, which is the item for approval and submission of a final urban water management plan. So I'll start with City Manager Bronson, who I anticipate will turn it over to City Engineer Public Works Director Ray.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I turn it over to Mr. Ray, just to let the council know that this is a receive and approve item that is coming before you for submission to the state of California to meet the requirements for water planning and grant funding. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Ray for a very brief set of comments about the item, and then we'll take your questions and comments from there.
Thank you. Am I on?
You are on, Mr. Ray.
Great. Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Bronson, and good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council. This is Greg Ray, your Public Works Director, City Engineer, coming to you live from my home office, which I hope is a short-term situation. Tonight we have, as Matt mentioned, the California Urban Water Management Plan submission and approval of the final document for this evening. Quickly, the Urban Water Management Planning Act requires every public water supplier to prepare and adopt an urban water management plan. The contents of the plan are prescribed by state law and include things like identifying quantities of existing and planned sources of water in five-year increments out to a 20-year planning window. It also looks at some water shortage contingencies, estimating water supplies available during dry years. If council recalls, on January 6th of 2020, the council received a presentation about water supply and water conservation changes. And that was going to form the basis for a water shortage contingency plan that would have been updated in 2020. At that time, the council provided input and direction, and staff was working to incorporate that direction into the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. However, following the January 6th meeting, the city was notified that we did need to update and adopt the 2015 plan in order to remain consistent with state regulations and additionally a grant that we had received. So attachment 2 to your staff report is the final urban water management plan for the 2015 cycle. This is for your approval and approval to submit to the State Department of Water Resources. There is a resolution included as an attachment to your staff report. Tonight, the staff is recommending deferral of specific discussions regarding water shortage and conservation requirements, as those were previously discussed on the 6th, and it's anticipated they will be discussed again in the future when we have an opportunity to discuss them more thoroughly. There is no fiscal impact to this year's operating budget as a result of this item. Staff would note that future water rate studies will likely include consideration of a conservation rate to address additional revenue loss that may be realized during a water shortage emergency. But tonight, the staff is asking you to conduct the public hearing on the Urban Water Management Plan update for 2015, adopt the resolution approving the plan, and allowing us to submit it to the California Department of Water Resources. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that report, City Engineer Ray. Let's turn to the council and see if we have any specific questions on this item before we open it, before we open the public hearing. So we'll start with Councilmember Lance.
Sure. Thank you. My only question is, when do we anticipate, and apologies, I don't have this off the top of my head, when do we anticipate submitting our 2020 plan, or is that something that it will be in another year?
And Mayor, I would ask, would you like me to wait and answer all the questions at the end or as they come up?
I believe as they come up is acceptable. So you can go ahead and respond. Thank you.
Councilmember Lance, the answer to the question is the earliest we believe we could submit it would be mid to late summer. The final guidance on the 2020 plan won't come out until basically June.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols, any questions? Hearing no questions, we'll go ahead to Councilmember Shaw.
No questions for me. Thank you. It was a very thorough report. Thank you.
Very good. And then we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
I have no questions either. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. So before we do go out to the public and open the public hearing, so I just want to make sure that Councilmember Nichols is still on the line.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Very good. Okay, then I will go ahead and open this to the public, as it is a public hearing, and see from City Clerk Sims if we have anyone who wants to speak on this item.
I do not have anyone in the queue, no.
Very good, thank you for that. I'll go ahead and close it to the public and bring it back to the council for consideration. So it looks like tonight we are, as the city manager and city engineer Ray mentioned, we are receiving and filing the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan from the 2015 cycle, but considering an adoption of a resolution approving the plan. So with that, is there discussion and or motion from a council member?
I'll make the motion that we approve the plan and submitting it to the California Department of Water Resources as required.
I'll second that.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, we'll go roll call, please.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. Very good. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate the work on that, and that the state will be able to now check that box. So that'll take us into our regular business items for tonight, which is item number 5, which is an update on the city's COVID-19 response. We'll start with City Manager Bronson and then give the police chief and the fire chief an opportunity to provide comments after City Manager Bronson provides his update. So, Mr. Bronson.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Once again, we're coming to you with another update on COVID-19, both at a countywide level and then our continued response as a city. The staff report before you has a number of points of information. I'll just briefly highlight these and then turn it over to our fire and police chiefs for further information. As of today, there are 95 confirmed COVID cases in the county with 4 current hospitalizations, including 3 in intensive care. Overall, our numbers are a bit down from what was projected over the last couple of weeks. So I think that all the effort that has been done across our county to be very diligent in our shelter at home order and staying at home and physical distance and all the work of our first responders is paying off, but this is certainly not a time to let up, as we'll continue to discuss during this report. Overall, there have been more cases in the North County than elsewhere in the county with currently about 20 cases in South County as it stands now. I will say that the county has focused much of its efforts recently on developing what's called an alternative care site, ACS, at Cal Poly. I had the chance to tour this site last Friday, and it really is a remarkable public-private partnership to create this facility from a recreation center. This facility will hold up to nearly 1,000 patients if need be, and is really somewhat of a middle ground of patients who are too sick to stay at home with the ill with a virus, but do not require hospitalization and the intense resources that are involved in that. So this facility is ready to go with its first phase opening on April 8th, this Wednesday, and can scale up to 1,000 patients, as I mentioned. Again, it really was a tremendous achievement pulling this together and shows what this county is capable of when it puts its focus in helping to take care of its community. Also, the county is doing a lot of work in helping to make sure that there are safe accommodations for homeless or unhoused individuals who may be at higher risk of COVID. The county has created 3 safe parking areas, including one at the Coastal Dunes Campground in Oceano, that provide a safe and secure location at night for RVs, motorhomes, and other cars to be at night with showers and bathroom facilities available. Cities have worked together to temporarily stop issuing citations for overnight camping in our respective communities, but instead we will be steering people towards going to the nearest safe parking area. We are still enforcing the 72-hour parking limitation to ensure that vehicles don't stay in one place for more than 3 days. The county is also working on a proposal for homeless hotel accommodations for those who are showing active symptoms of COVID-19 at one location in SLO and one location in Atascadero. Moving from the county response to our city response, As discussed last time, our focus as a city is providing essential services in accordance with the countywide and statewide orders. Those include police patrol dispatch, fire EMS, water and wastewater treatment distribution, infrastructure work, stormwater response, and permit issuance for applicable properties. Our facilities still remain closed to the public and to employees as workspaces. We are still closed at our playgrounds and sports courts and have taken further steps over the last week in removing basketball rims and tennis nets, which were unfortunate steps, but they were necessary to continue enforcing the physical distance and shelter-at-home orders. I'll just note that I'm really proud of how our organization has performed over the last few weeks in a virtual service delivery model. Our team has done a marvelous job in coming together and still providing key services for the community, but doing so in various locations at their homes, in their home offices, coming into City Hall once in a while, but really taking the shelter at home order seriously. I thought that was very important for us to model this adherence that we are promoting and preaching across the community. We are also working to make sure that our employees have the necessary PPE, personal protective equipment, including masks, as increasingly appropriate and recommended from the CDC. And I also want to make sure that I give special recognition to our field maintenance and public safety personnel who are out in the field every day, helping make sure our community is safe and well-maintained. I'll also acknowledge that we are working diligently with the Chamber of Commerce and the county and other organizations to track the economic impacts of this public health and economic crisis. The council's actions regarding TOT and utility payments, late payment penalty waiver is one step in that direction towards helping support our business community in these difficult times, as well as our community in general. I am working with other leaders on a regional task force to help offer opportunities for immediate relief from an economic standpoint, as well as long-term recovery options. I'll also say, as we discussed last time, we are tracking the revenue impacts from this situation very closely at the city, and most notably, the governor had indicated a proposal for deferral of sales tax dollars for up to 12 months, which would have a significant impact on city revenues and other local governments. So we're tracking this carefully, working with the league to represent our case in Sacramento and helping to make sure that cities are offset for any revenue loss. And lastly, I'll just say that our community has done a great job in adhering to the shelter-at-home order and only going outside for essential shopping activities, essential activities, getting some fresh air at a physically safe distance, and that is really, really important. We need our community to double down these efforts over these next few weeks. Now is not the time to let up, and we are taking this message to heart. In our public messaging on social media, our website, through word of mouth, We are putting up more signage at our parks to encourage physical distance. We're sending out a postcard at the end of this week to every household in the community that will help further this message and also further the message that we are in this together as a community. To that end, I'm pleased with our Parks and Recreation Department for launching the hashtag GB Spring Spirit campaign, where families can post pictures of their activities at home and behind their houses and their front yards and backyards as ways to help celebrate springtime, again, in adherence to the shelter-at-home order that we are trying to model. So we're really pleased about this work. We're trying to do our best to help maintain and galvanize community spirit as we work together to help support each other during these challenging times. So with that, I will yield the floor and see if either of the chiefs would like to add anything to the comments.
We'll see if we can turn to Chief Peters first.
Hi, Chief John Peters, your police chief. Mr. Mayor, members of the council and the community, I just wanted to echo the comments made by City Manager Bronson that this next week and actually the next 2 weeks are going to be very critical on shelter at home and making sure that we do everything that we can to avoid the coronavirus as it is going through a lot of communities. I know the patrol personnel are still out there diligently patrolling and answering calls for service. And as of this weekend, we've actually have instructed them to don their masks while out in the public. It's a recommendation from the CDC. And so I would make the same recommendation to any members of the public to be cognizant of your social distancing, as well as be cognizant of your own safety. And when outside, if you wish to don a mask, that would be great. It would improve the safety, but otherwise shelter at home when you can. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. Next, we'll turn to Chief Lieberman, see if he has any comments.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Just really want to echo the comments of City Manager Bronson and Chief Peters. You know, I was on an unfortunate incident today in Grover Beach, and I noticed that the patrol officers were all wearing their masks and gloves as appropriate, and I think it's very important that we do that for obvious reasons. And I believe we have an opportunity to help educate our community by projecting that image and explaining to people why we're doing what we're doing. I can tell you that I ran some errands in the community over the weekend, and I was wearing a mask and gloves, and other than employees at one of the stores, no one from the public was. So the mask isn't a panacea. It doesn't make things better. It helps in situations where you can't maintain appropriate social distancing. So social distancing and staying at home and away from one another, which is not normal for us social humans, is the best way to really flatten the curve of the infection rate. And as the chief mentioned, the next couple of weeks, especially on the eastern part of the United States, are going to be critical. We heard the Surgeon General liken it to Pearl Harbor or September 11th. And we are trying to diffuse that and delay that from happening in California for as long as possible. I think leadership at the county and state level have really helped to send us home and to close non-essential businesses and really take this seriously. So I concur with Chief Peters. We're as ready as we can be for this event, but we're still hoping the community continues to cooperate.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen, for that, for those updates. Let's see if there's any questions from the council. So, Councilmember Lance.
No question.
Very good. Councilmember Nichols.
No question.
Thank you. Councilmember Shaw.
I had a question just quickly on when to wear a mask. At home, we don't have N95 masks. We just have these masks my daughter made out of T-shirts. So are we supposed to wear them like anytime we're out for a walk, or is it just when you're going to be close to people? So when should we wear that?
So Chief Lieberman here, I'll take a crack at it and ask that Chief Peters keep me honest with my answer. I would say that if you're going outdoors to get your exercise and take a walk or a bike ride, and as long as it's just your immediate family and you're not interacting closely with others, you don't need a mask. If you're going into a store or you're going into a place where you won't be able to maintain that six-foot bubble, I would definitely encourage you to don that mask.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright. Hearing no comments, we'll come back. And I just did have one question, or maybe it's more of a comment that I can hold until after, if we have any public comments. So I'll hold that until afterwards, and I'll check with our city clerk and see if there's any members of the public that have called in to discuss or to make public comment on this item.
No, we have no callers.
Very good. Thank you for that. So my comment starts off with, I was participating in the briefing call that the mayors are receiving from the county CAO and Dr. Bornstein on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they've changed course a little bit with regards to testing. And I was going to see if either of the chiefs were aware or knew of how this may impact us. But they're actually, because of the availability of tests either on the private sector side or in the public sector, they are encouraging now folks who have milder symptoms to go ahead and ask your doctor for or your urgent care provider for a testing slip and to be tested. So it's no longer the proverbial sickest of the sick that are going to be tested. So it's kind of what the direction I heard this afternoon, and I wanted to see if what kind of reaction the chiefs might have to that latest information.
You know, it's a strange day when neither chief has something to say.
I was just going to say, maybe it's good news with no comment.
I'll ask Chief Peters to weigh in as well. I just think that our approach, I worked with a county health officer for a number of years, and she takes a very conservative approach to public health. And I think with the very finite number of testing kits we initially had going into this pandemic, the message was different. And I think now that private labs are online and more testing kits are available, I believe there's actually a concern that perhaps the public, the private sector testing labs might not be reporting result information through the public health channels, that she's really trying to get a handle on what our true case count might be. Chief Peters, what am I missing?
No, I think that is absolutely correct, Chief Lieberman. I did receive the information regarding the additional opportunities for testing, especially for public safety members. And I would, echo those comments is that if you do have the symptoms, however slight, go contact your medical provider and see if you can get those tested. By opening up this test, it may give us a little bit more realistic numbers. And I know that we've done well in our county in particular, and we haven't seen the numbers rise as other counties around us have. But, yeah, we could probably have some more data to look at.
Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. So I'll turn it back over to City Manager Bronson, see if he has any closing remarks on this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just say that your city staff team remains very focused, very diligent, very responsible in how we're carrying out our work, given these unique crises that we are navigating right now. We are working in an environment of being calm, competent, and compassionate in how we treat each other, how we treat our community members, and how we work together as a team. And we will continue to do so and carrying out the good work of the city and find ways to help continue to galvanize community spirit through different activities that we can do as a community. So we'll be thinking different ideas and bringing those forward to the council as they come forward.
Very good. Thank you for that that update. And realize that I didn't give council members a chance for comment. Is there Councilmember Lance, any comments?
I think I'll just be saying the same thing that we're all thinking. We just want to thank our staff and our public safety workers right now more than ever for their responsiveness and being out in the community during this challenging time. Just sincere thanks from me and my family.
Very good. Thank you. Councilmember Nichols.
Pretty much the same thing. I do want to comment that one of the members of our neighborhood has asked for authority to for our whole neighborhood to get together as a neighborhood and decorate our yards with a we will overcome this kind of message. And I think that's a pretty neat idea.
That is a neat idea, actually. The city manager and I were talking about something similar this afternoon, so maybe that's something to discuss under council communication. So let's bring that back at that point. So, okay. Councilmember Shaw.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for their hard work, and I was impressed. You know, the city manager sent us an update today, and in these trying times and with everything our city has going on, our workers have not lost sight of a lot of the projects we have going, and business is still moving forward in Grover Beach despite this crisis. So I really appreciate that. One thing that I don't know if I wanted to bring it up now or in council communication, but many of us probably received over the weekend a few emails from people asking for a rent moratorium or a mortgage moratorium during this time. And actually, I was watching the county Facebook Live today, and they directed us to ReadySlow.org. And when you look at ReadySlow.org, the governor already does have some provisions in place for people to not get late fees on their mortgage at this time. And, of course, there's also the eviction moratoriums that are in place. So I know as someone who's getting updates every day because of my position as a council member, it's even hard for me to stay updated on all of the things that are being quickly put in place to keep people from missing their bills and for to just keep people healthy and safe and financially okay during this time. So I would just encourage people to go to ReadySlow.org because they're trying to keep track of the latest of what's going on.
Very well said. Appreciate that. Great. Councilmember Bright, any comments? Or Mayor Pro Tem Bright, sorry.
That's just fine. Bill, I really don't have anything more to add other than just my own personal thanks to our staff and to our police and fire chiefs for all they do. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Very good. And my comments would just echo those of my colleagues in saying thank you to our city staff and to our first responders and also to our community for the good work that we are doing to flatten the curve, slow the spread, and hopefully we continue to win the war in this pandemic. But it is going to be a long slog of a marathon. So with that, we'll go ahead and close discussion on that item and move it back into public communications. And unless our city clerk tells me that someone has mysteriously shown up on the line for public communications, we'll move on to our council committee reports. City clerk?
No, there is no one on the line.
Very good. Thank you for that. So next we'll go into our council committee reports, where I'll start with Councilmember Lance.
Sure. Thank you. I actually have a few to report on. I've been a part of a handful of Zoom meetings. Two of them were kind of more as my position as the liaison with the chamber. I attended the GBC Grover Beach Steering Committee a couple weeks ago. That was when the shelter-at-home order had recently gone into place.
So the majority of that meeting was discussing the happenings around that and what the city was doing in the time. I also attended a chamber government affairs meeting where Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham spoke about what they were doing on a state level from a legislative perspective and just what was happening on a state level. Again, things are changing, as Councilmember Shaw had mentioned, things are changing so quickly, so there's not a ton of things to report from those meetings because the data and the recommendations are changing daily, weekly, hourly sometimes. The one thing I will say is that the Chambers of Commerce, and this has been mentioned before, is doing as much as they can possibly do to support our business community. They've taken a lot of initiatives. They have had meetings to discuss, you know, small business loans. They've had all kinds of webinars to try and help our business community. One of the things is Takeout Tuesday. They've really pushed for community members to support local restaurants and food businesses in ordering takeout food on Tuesday, just to show our support of those businesses. So I would highly encourage everybody in our community to do that. It's just a sign that, you know, we're still here and we're still supporting them. And then I also had a Visit SoCal Zoom meeting last Friday, and that was mainly to get an update on where the strategic plan was going for the next 3 years. The strategic plan for 2020 has been undertaken, but they're looking at the 3 years after that. So that's still in process. I don't have much to report on that. They're not making significant changes, but there was some discussion about not necessarily what they can do specifically with COVID-19, which was discussed a little bit, but also how to just be a more resilient organization when these types of things happen, and brainstorming around that. So hopefully I'll have more to report once the strategic plan is finalized for that time period. Thank you.
Thank you for that update. So quick question for you on that, Councilmember Lance, is sure. I heard today that the occupancy rates for county hotels are somewhere between 5% and 13%, depending upon whether it's March and April and what they're predicting for May. So has there been an official update from Mr. Davidson on that?
At my meeting, that was not discussed in detail, no. So I haven't received any of those figures. It was kind of more of a high level, how can we best position the organization to respond to these types of things, but also in the broader sense, because we are looking at this. It was a three-year strategic plan. So obviously COVID-19 is very much right now. So a lot of the focus was obviously taking this into consideration because it is something that completely kind of sidelined a lot of people and how we can learn from this, but also kind of implement it into how to be more resilient in the following next 3 years.
Very good. Thank you for that report. Next we'll go to Councilmember Nichols.
And I had no meetings to report on.
Lucky you. So next we'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
I had one HSOC meeting. Mostly the meat of the meeting was to just approve. Well, first we approved the county, Wade Horton specifically, to be the one to distribute funds that will be coming to South County just to he's the point person. And so there will be probably close to $500,000 coming here to help just the homeless deal with COVID. So we decided that the major areas where the money would go is isolation capacity, so support for hotels, because people who do show symptoms will be immediately put in a hotel just to isolate them.
doing street outreach, so supplies and equipment needed to, you know, get out and test people and find people, transportation, so to help people find shelter and medical care, and then also staffing to support possibly additional management for clients. So there was some, you know, question and confusion. All right, well, what does this mean? You know, I'm doing X, Y, and Z right now. Am I going to be reimbursed for that? So, for example, one issue was with the rain coming, because this meeting was last Friday, the Oceano campground is open for safe parking. Does that mean that they can also give people tents to camp there during this time? And so that was still a question that was pending that I'm assuming and hoping has gotten answered. And, you know, I was happy to see that the warming shelter was open last night in Grover Beach, and I think it's going to be open again this week, even though I think the warming shelter was only supposed to go until April. So these are just the kind of split-second decisions that are being made, and it's just a little bit hazy as to, well, what's going to be reimbursed and what's exactly going to be covered. So just trying to navigate that as far as how they're delivering services. But things are getting done very quickly, and I've just been very impressed with the effort all around, especially because most volunteers in these different organizations are over 65. So a lot of the organizations that are already stretched are working with way less volunteers than usual. So they're doing the best they can, and money's on the way. And that's the best that we can hope for right now.
Very good. Thank you for that update. So next we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Thank you. Yes, I had several. So I'll start with the first one, Zone 3, and that was just to approve the budget. It was done via email, so nothing really changed. I think I reported on that way back when we first got the budget, but just to reiterate and refresh your memories, there will be about $193,000 less in billings to the agencies this year. So that is some good news. Zone 3. And then IWMA as well. And that was mostly regarding the plastic bag ordinance, which will stay in place. And there was an effort for it to be even more inclusive. However, at this point in time, we'll postpone the enforcement for up to 12 months on the plastic bag ordinance and its and the features of it until we see what happens here. Then RTA as well. That too was pretty much one item, and that was to pass an emergency ordinance so that reimbursements can be requested for different areas that are part of the COVID-19 business, and so that they can actually start requesting that they get reimbursed for those expenditures. Then last was SLOCOG. That everything was kind of up in the air because of the COVID-19 and because of the financial package that was passed. So that's all kind of a lot of the numbers really are not set. So I'm not going to talk about that. However, most importantly, I think to our city at this point in time is that the Cycle 3 Safe Routes to Schools funding is still available, and that I believe they're looking for. I'm sure that the city engineer knows exactly what they're or They're looking for, and I don't have the agenda in front of me, but I think they're looking for some kind of an update, I believe, regarding the plan. So for the sidewalk work over at Grover Beach Elementary. And other than that, that's about all I've got.
Very good. Thank you for those updates. I did have several meetings, only one of which actually was a full committee meeting, but I'll start with the Monterey Bay Community Power. I had a conference call with the executive director, Tom Habashi, and where he laid out his plan that will be discussed at the next policy board meeting to expand the organization due to the fact that there's 11 new cities and counties coming on board. So there is a kind of a very methodical, well thought out plan that may get impacted by COVID-19 response, of course, but at least there is a plan in place to or to be presented as to how that is going to be brought forward. So, but the South San, South Slo County Sanitation District boards did get canceled for April. But I did have a special meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority, where there were no specific actions on the regular agenda, but we did have three closed session items of which there was no reportable actions. But the one update from the chief as part of the regular agenda was that a recount of the Oceano A20 measure was completed, and unfortunately it still was short by 10 votes rather than the 11 votes that was initially done by the original counting. So they did gain one more vote, but it still did fail to reach the required two-thirds. And so I'm sure the Fire Authority Board will continue to have discussions as to what happens next and how to proceed with that joint powers authority. So with that, we'll go into League of California Cities reports, and I will throw myself under the bus and realizing that I thought the policy committee meeting was this week, and apparently it was last week. So while I do have a document showing what we were going to talk about, I did actually not hear of it in person. So I'll turn it over to Marion first to see if there's anything from the Channel Counties Division first.
I've been getting daily updates from the league, but it's a lot of the same information that we're all kind of getting email forwards and updates. And so finally, I think now they're going to try to break up the updates by division. So I'm pretty sure Friday is the Channel Counties Division update. And I'm not sure if you all got that invite yet or not, but I think there's like a conference call. I want to say it's Friday afternoon. That you can option to join to get an update from the league. And we did have a Zoom call last week just to kind of do an update with the executive board. You know, there's just so much happening so fast to try to alleviate stress and pressure as to what's going on. But it is important, as we've kind of been talking about, that things don't happen that are just, you know, going to throw cities down the drain as well, especially when we talk about things like putting a hold on sales tax and what that can mean for certain cities, for example. So I'm going to also have a conference call this week or a Zoom call with Dave Mullinax and our board of the Channel Counties Division. And we're just going to touch base on some things such as when should we ever plan to meet in person again, which could be a long time. So there was originally going to be a fundraiser in June, but I think we'll probably decide that we should probably not even attempt that. So more to come from just our little division meeting, but those are kind of my updates for the league right now.
Very good. Thank you for those. Next, I'll turn over to City Manager Bronson for an update on his policy committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I did attend a virtual meeting of the Governance, Transparency, and Labor Relations Policy Committee. And I'll just say that I think there were only about half the committee members there on the call. So I believe that was probably the case, Mr. Mayor, for your committee as well. So there were a number of folks who weren't able to join all those different committee calls. So the call I was on, I would say, is largely a summary of COVID information. There wasn't really much new material, in large part because the legislature is not in session. They are due back on May 4th officially, but it could be later than that. So there's not much happening in Sacramento right now at the legislative level, and pretty much the session that they'll come back to will be a truncated session focused on COVID-19. So there really isn't much else there. I did hear that CalPERS has made up some of their loss in valuation in the last couple of weeks, given the volatility in the market, but there's still quite a ways to go. They did drop $75 billion in the initial decline and gain 30 of it back. So still they're down. We'll hear more information this Wednesday at a special webinar that PERS is putting on, but that will have an impact on our employer contribution rates as we go forward. That's all.
Very good. Thank you for that update. So I've always concerned with CalPERS and the fact that they seem to lose more than most and not gain as much back as others. But I'll leave that to others to figure out why that is. So next we'll go into council communications. Let's see, Councilmember Lance, do you have anything to share? Or actually, I'll start with Councilmember Nichols, because you had something that you wanted to share.
Well, yeah. First of all, I did not have a South County Transit meeting, but I did get an email explaining what they're doing, and the only thing that is of real importance is that their people are all equipped with masks and so on and so forth, and ridership is way, way down, and riders are now being boarded from the rear of the bus instead of having contact with the driver of the bus, which this is what they're doing to keep their people safe and employed.
May I also add, I'm sorry to interrupt you, though, Barbara.
That's right.
But also, they're not collecting any fares.
Oh, really?
An issue. Yes,
that,
no fares.
That did not come across my report. Thank you.
So
yeah,
that is,
heard that as
is,
well.
Yeah, so that's a problem. But, I mean, financially.
Yes.
Oh, and now I'll mute myself again.
Okay. So, but Councilmember Nichols, you had something to share that your community is thinking of doing, that your subdivision is thinking of doing.
Yeah, I don't have a picture of the sign in front of me, but she just suggested that people make little signs to put out about being safe. But this is something that will disappear and we will get through. And just suggested that we get together as a community in that way rather than a community gathering and just to show our community spirit and to give other people some hope.
Very nice, and maybe I'll turn it over to the city manager for just a moment. Since as I mentioned, he and I were talking about something similar this afternoon, so maybe we can kind of see what he and the Parks and Rec Director Petker have kind of been ruminating on, and see how maybe we as a council can support or figure out how best to proceed. City manager,
I can forward the picture from that she provided as a suggestion and see if that works in with what you guys are talking about too.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. Just to build on the points that were made, I mentioned earlier about our GB Spring Spirit effort that we've just started for individuals, families, people to post ways that they're celebrating spring as one way of helping acknowledge community spirit. We're also looking at doing some kind of a virtual Easter egg hunt where people can put up pictures of Easter eggs in their windows at their home so that people and kids can see them as they're walking around their neighborhoods. There are other ideas that we've been looking at internally of ways to help continue to bolster community spirit and togetherness to the point that Governor Mickle was making. There could be ideas such as looking at signage, yard signs or window signs that could emphasize that we are in this together as one community. There are ways in which we can acknowledge and thank the efforts of our community in staying strong, in adhering to the physical distance and staying in home orders, and highlighting that on social media, our website, and other means. We are sending out the postcards, as I mentioned, and that will have messages of staying together, and we're getting through this together as a community. So those are some of the ideas that we've been thinking of at the staff level. We would love to be able to do more in a grassroots community way so that the community could express their own degree of support and positive energy for staying strong as one community together.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that. So next we'll go to Councilmember Lance, if you have any communications.
Just to reiterate what the Chambers is doing in promoting Takeout Tuesday, ordering takeout tomorrow for dinner or lunch or breakfast even. Also, just echoing what Councilmember Shaw had brought up earlier, we did receive a handful of emails from individuals wanting us to agendize the idea of sending the governor a letter requesting a mortgage and rent moratorium. I received those, and I believe that is all my council communications as of now.
Very good. Thank you for those correspondence. Next, we'll go to Councilmember Shaw.
No specific communications. I like all the ideas about things we can do as a community. I know we haven't really put up any Easter decorations because now it's going to rain. It's supposed to rain. So by the time we were getting them out, we thought, well, we're not going to put them out yet. So it might be better to just do something since Easter is already this Sunday, as I was trying to get things delivered today and probably won't, I realized. So maybe something just more generally toward being in this together. I know in some other cities, people are actually pulling their Christmas lights back out and putting them back up. So my husband will probably fight me on that one, but I'll do it if you all want to do it. So kind of a neat idea. But, yes, I'm up for whatever keeps us all going. So thank you for the idea.
Okay. I like the idea of Christmas lights. We've got white lights in our tree all year round, but I'd always game to put up more. So Mayor Pro Tem Bright, do you have anything to share?
Well, as a matter of fact, I actually did get council communication. And I believe that this person may have also tried to contact the city, but I'm not sure. And it is regarding the lack of speed limit signs on the pike. And she was talking specifically between Oak Park and 13th. She said that she and others who walk the sidewalk there on the pike, they observe vehicles that are speeding. So that was my one communication. Aside from, of course, the other five emails regarding the rent freeze and the mortgage moratorium.
Very good. Okay. So I think, City Manager, if we could have our City Engineer Ray kind of take a look into that situation on the pike, that would be appreciated.
Absolutely. And Mayor Bertan, if you could forward me that information, I could have Mr. Ray take a look at it.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
And I did just have two communications, one of which is was something from Tim Mahoney from Southern California Gas, and they've put together their own version of a CARES program for their customers. It sounds like it's very similar to the PG&E program that is in place And I'll forward that to the city manager as well so he can either post a link to it from our website or people can go visit the Southern California Gas Company website and check on that program. And then I got this is more of a fun kind of communication. I got a couple emails back and forth from someone who would like to put a artwork on the beach, realizing that the beach isn't solely ours to control. But it's called Goby the Plastic Eating Fish. And it's basically a public art display, which is more of a great big recycle bin that looks like a large guppy or some sort of goby fish, about 10 feet tall, and collects, people use that as a garbage can for recyclables of cans and bottles and plastic bags and so forth. So I figured as we come out of all of this, that might be something fun to add to our list of public art in the near future. So I'll keep that in mind towards the end of our quarantine areas. So, but with that, I'll turn it over to the city manager for any reports and comments that he has this evening.
Thank you. Just one more brief comment regarding our public works project. While much of our focus is on COVID-19, we are still advancing a number of infrastructure and maintenance projects thanks to our public works, engineering, and maintenance staff members for their work on this. Our water line replacement project in South Grover along Trueville and other streets is rapidly moving forward. We're moving forward with our design work on our next street project on North 8th Street, South 9th, and 14th Street. And we're also getting ready to bring the final design for the South Oak Park project to the council on April 20th. So we're excited to move these projects forward. And we're also doing some landscaping work at Mentone Basin Park and right around the GB60 sign at the train station. Lastly, we are continuing to take care of our deferred maintenance needs at city facilities, city hall, police station, fire station, and the community center. A number of improvements to continue making the people's facilities more modern and well-equipped for the public and for our employees that are working there. So we're pleased to help move these forward and continue the good work of our city operations. That's all.
Very good. Thank you for those updates. I'll turn it over to the city attorney, see if he has any reports for this evening.
None this evening, Mayor.
Very good. Thank you. And I see that we have no closed sessions this evening. So before we adjourn, I just wanted to say thank you to staff for putting together this audio version of the council meeting and also realizing that I believe on the April 20th meeting, we are going to try and use video again as well. Maybe the city manager or the city clerk could just remind us how that might work next time as well.
That is correct, Mr. Mayor. We are looking at introducing the video component to the April 20th meeting. We weren't able to bring that together for this meeting, but we will be bringing that forward in April 20th. The specific technology is still to be determined. It may be a Zoom meeting, it may be a Microsoft Teams meeting, but we will have a video capability either way, and we'll have information to the council and the public on how to participate in advance of that meeting.
Very good. Appreciate that, because based upon your report, sounds like we're going to have a couple visuals that we'll need to share with the council with regards to the design, and it'll be a much more interactive meeting with video rather than just audio. That's very good.
So, anyone else? Can I ask a question?
Of course.
This Karen. So then you're talking about when you say video, maybe that we're able to view like some presentations and that sort of thing?
That's correct, Mayor Pro Tem Bright. We would be able to show presentation slides, be able to show a visual of the South Oak Park design, for example, and show videos and visuals of each member of the council and the executive staff who were taking part in the meeting. So that's what we are working towards for April 20th, and we'll test it out between now and then and be ready to go on the 20th.
Okay, so you'll let us know if I shouldn't be sitting here with my cat on my lap?
It would provide a very comfortable setting for everybody involved, but we will advise you of the video capability beforehand.
But it would be very helpful. I know, I mean, considering what we're anticipating, hopefully, seeing at our April 20th meeting, it would be very helpful, I think, if we were able to view some presentations and that sort of thing. So I look forward to that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for that. Does any other members of the council have any items before we adjourn?
No, just look forward to seeing everyone soon.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yes, indeed. So until then, be safe. And did I miss a comment from somebody? Okay, seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.